from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the Oddcaster that makes the podcast that puts you to sleep. It's time for Sleep With Me.
Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, if you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener to Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like, I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show?
Hey, you've all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep. Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you up at night, whether it's thinking, feelings, either of the emotional kind or the physical sensations kind, the sounds, breaks in your routine, or just a rough day, or a rough couple of days, or a rough couple of months, whatever it is. I'm going to try to take your mind off of that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night, along with my intention to kind of to carry you off into dreamland, or escort you over the threshold from wake to sleep. And I'm going to dig into my toolbox. You know, they say there's a term I've heard before called an emotional toolbox. Now, unfortunately, my emotional toolbox is like one of those toolboxes that externally it looks like it's rusted shut. And let's just say there was an occasion in life where they had an emotional toolbox inspection. I'd be like, okay, let me get it. It looks like it's rusted shut, but I'm pretty sure I can get it open here. But before I go into my emotional toolbox, before I open that up, oh boy, because there actually is probably a can of worms in my rusted emotional toolbox. For this show, I have a toolbox, a pillowy toolbox with terry cloth and silken lined with some sateen, some down, some artificial down, and, bubble. It has bubbles, atmospheric bubbling going on with smells. And I can pull anything out of there, you know, with straight meanders, double meanders, you know, pregnant pauses, generic pauses, random pauses, gratuitous pauses, those actually all were, those were gratuitous. I could use lulling, soothing tones, creaky dust, dulcets, or, you know, just to try to be pleasant and be welcoming. That's my main goal. But the whole idea is to take your mind off stuff. So tonight I'll finish out this intro, try to create a metaphor that makes you understand the podcast, metaphor attempts, you know, misguided metaphors, what do you call premature metaphors? So yeah, or it's something that's, yeah, say, well, you see, he finished a metaphor, but it didn't do anything for me. Oh my God, hey, that just came out. Oops, oh boy, I can't keep. But yeah, so the whole idea is to take your mind off of stuff so that you can fall asleep. Now, you don't have to fall asleep. You don't have to listen to me. I'll be here giving it my all. I'll do the intro. Then we'll have a little story time. It's going to be a trending Tuesday episode. But you might wonder, like, okay, give me, I don't quite understand what this podcast is about. I'd say, okay, touche. And so let me explain to you. It's kind of like unpacking your emotional toolbox or anytime, you know, when you know, there's certain contexts where you're fine. You're talking about your emotional toolbox. You know, if it's in some sort of seminar you're required to attend for something that's not even emotional, like, okay, you know, in this next quarter of work, we want everybody, let's list three assets we have in our emotional toolbox for workplace friendliness. And you're like, fine, that's neutral enough. I can handle that. But if it's in some other thing where they're like, well, don't you have any, you know, don't, what do you have in your emotional toolbox to deal with that? You say, I got nothing. Clearly, that's why I'm acting this way. This is my emotional toolbox. I don't even know, I don't even have an emotional toolbox because it doesn't have an M. It's an emotional toolbox. Now, that might be a normal person. For me, it's like, sometimes this can even happen at bedtime. You know, you get in bed, you say, okay, I'm ready to go to sleep. And then some part of you is like, no, we got to inventory our emotional toolbox because things have not been going the way they should be going. And you're like, well, I guess this doesn't feel like the best time to categorize the emotional toolbox and organize it. Well, you see, then that part of you is like, well, fine. I mean, everything else in your life's out of order. Your apartment, your finances, your work, personal life, you know, not even your toilet paper is in chaos. And you say, well, most of it's still on the roll, except for that one that rolled down those stairs, and then I just swirled it. Wow, but I just want to go sleep. I can't deal with the emotional toolbox tonight. And then maybe another, but can't you at least open it up and go through it? What are you afraid of? And I say, well, I'm not afraid of anything. I just want to go to bed. Plus, remember, my emotional toolbox is covered in actual rust, and not even figurative rust. So if I start doing it in bed, then the bed's going to be full of rust dust. Then I'll be fixated on the rust dust. I'm never going to be able to sleep if I'm in a bed full of rust dust, even if I'm imagining that it's still there. You know, I won't be able to see. So please just don't make me, just go, okay. And then some part of you that's pretending to be reasonable, because if any reasonable part would be quiet because they know you got to go to bed. They say, well, this is the day, the first day of the rest of your life. Just spend 5 minutes dealing with your emotional toolbox. And that's a tricky voice because you really want to say to that voice, well, where the hell were you 2 hours ago when I was eating ice cream and watching freaking Mr. Belvedere? Like, couldn't have you told me to inventory my toolbox then? But you say, okay, well, let me just try to get it open. And they say, well, you can't even open your emotional toolbox. You've let it rust shut from misuse. You have a rusty and, believe it or not, even though it's a toolbox, it's atrophied and rusted. And you say, well, I can get it open here. And then you get it open. You say, okay, well, maybe I should shut that back. Yeah, maybe tonight isn't the best night to go to give in to all you and go through. And then the rest of your brain's like, well, let's just look in there. And they say, no, I looked in there. Trust me. And then another part is like, how many dirty coffee cups are in there? And you're like, honestly, too many to count. How many have some green, a lot of them have mold type. How many open Cliff bars are in there? On the surface, I counted three. In your emotional toolbox, yeah, in my emotional toolbox, yeah, I got three open Cliff bars. I think there's a candy cane in there, but I can't tell because it's pretty, it's not decomposed, but it's degenerated. And I think that is my, you know, what do they call that thing? My resiliency stick that's covered in candy cane, melted candy cane. And also there's a it's going through a coffee cup, and I don't know if I want to touch it without gloves on. And then some other party might be like, wait, are you sure this isn't a regular toolbox? This is your emotional toolbox. And I say, unfortunately, yes, it is. And then some part of you, you hear the door shut because some part of you just bailed. And you say, well, hopefully that wasn't a useful part that just ran for it. And you say, listen, I get this. This is where Scoots comes in, actually. This is where you can rely on my expertise. You know, where you say, what qualifies you to help put people's atrophied, rusted up toolbox full of crap? And you say, those are your sleep tools? No, that's my emotional toolbox. That's my ability to deal with my issues. But because of that, because of my experience, you know, I get 10,000 hours just looking at a rusted, atrophied emotional toolbox and, you know, avoiding grappling with it. Gladwell, I got 10,000 hours of that. And debating and self-shaming. You know, third party, all that stuff. But so I've actually developed some useful skills. Unfortunately, they're better suited towards other people like you. But I say, hey, everybody, hey, I see all your brain. I see your humans here. I think everyone's worried about this emotional toolbox. Huh? Great. That's good because it's an important thing. And oh boy, this toolbox does not look, I can see why you're all concerned about this emotional toolbox. Well, would you believe it? It's 11:15. Tomorrow's a big day. And I realized we'd want to have this emotional toolbox shined and lubed and organized and all that. Tomorrow would be perfect. Wouldn't that be the dream? We'd all be able to rest easy knowing our emotional toolbox is rested. Oh, whoops, that was a slip. I think that, I don't know if that was a Freudian slip, but it was a, you know, knowing that we'd all have certainty if we knew the toolbox was good to go. But you know what? It really helps this toolbox. Now, I don't know if you could all trust me, brain parts. And I know a lot of you might not have any reason to believe me, but this emotional toolbox here, believe it or not, these things are self-cleaning and organizing with rest. Now, it won't be 100% cleaned or organized or de-atrophied. But if you're a human, get some rest. And believe it or not, I could just sit here and tell you all a story because I can see you need some soothing after looking in that emotional toolbox. It's stressful. Just the word is so loaded with different meanings and charges. So what I'm going to do is tell a silly story, and I'll just move this toolbox here. See, I'm going to put it inside of my pillowy soft toolbox. Does everybody want to touch that tool? Oh, yeah. See how soft that is? And go ahead and lift it. It's like the weight is gone because your emotional toolbox is now within, you know, enveloped in sateen and silk and the other stuff, you know, the all the soft S-word materials and terry cloth, you know, and some Cool Max, I think, even, so it's breathable. And ancient merino or whatever the heck that is. Not, you know, so don't worry. So I'll be here. I'm going to talk to your human, though. You can all touch. Go ahead and stroke that. It's nothing wrong. Oh, you all want to rest your heads. So those are all your little brain parts, your little brain bots, as I like to call them. So I'll keep them entertained. And you, human, you could just rest there. And know that, you know, I need you to, you could listen to me. If you can't fall, you can drift off whenever you feel like it. I'll be here talking. But if you want to listen, I'll be here the whole time to entertain you, try to make you laugh. It'll be mildly entertaining, mildly interesting, but I'll be here the whole time. And I guess that's it. That's the way the podcast works. I try to take your mind off of stuff. You're under no pressure to stay awake or to fall asleep. I'm going to try to do it with the best intentions I can foster here. And, you know, some kindness to all those parts of you that are stirred up or, you know, that might be that you say, well, it's not exactly what's going on with me, Scoots. It's different, but I can kind of relate to what you're saying. You say, I don't know if you could have an atrophied toolbox unless you never use it. And I say, boom, you got it. You got it. Avoidance city. They one time they tried to stamp on my head atrophy by avoidance or something. They said, well, who did I said, why did I do that? Maybe that would even be a bumper sticker. Atrophy by avoidance, emotional toolbox, bumper sticker, team. Anyway, that's about it. If you're new here, the podcast's a little bit different, clearly. I appreciate you stopping by. And I really hope I'm going to do my best. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And I yearn to escort you over the threshold into dreamland. So that's it. Let's get on with the show. Housekeeping around the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. Older episodes are there. You can comment on the website. You can email me feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can get me on Twitter at Dearest Scooter. We're on Facebook at Sleep With Me Podcast. I want to thank Chris Posey Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does the theme music and edited this episode. You should check his podcast out, Sounds Like an Earful. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I want to thank Jonathan Mann, who does our lullabies, and you could commission a song from him at jonathanmann.net. The listeners have a Facebook group that's over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And the moderators over there are Laura, Julie C., Jennifer B., and Lie to Lie. And I want to thank all our patrons. And that's it. Let's get on to the show.
All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, well, you know, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too, and that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show but they can't, or there's people that would love to support the show but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too, so thank you so much.
Hey everybody, it's Scooter here, and I'm just firing my phone up to see, I guess we'll look up the Twitter trends here. All right, so I have the Twitter trends now, and I got a picture of them. Sometimes I go in these recordings, I have something in my mind, and other times I'm like, oh, I wonder what we'll talk about. And tonight kind of be one of those nights I said, well, what are we going to talk about? And I was thinking as I was sitting down and doing the intro, I was thinking about, well, geez, we could talk about, because I was talking about that emotional toolbox stuff. But then I was like, oh, you know what we haven't, was it a year ago that we had a visit from Pop and a Mop? And that was one of my favorite two episodes. It was an episode about this man, Pop, an old man. And it was a story involving, it was one of the stories I happened to get involved in. Because I just happened to be on this drive, and I went into this candy, or this, what is it called, like an IGA, a small town supermarket, or not even a supermarket, a market, I guess, yeah, Independent Grocers Association style, maybe even a little smaller than that, and he was in there, And I just happened to get there on the eve of the Great Candy War. And then it ended up Pop was, I don't know, I haven't re-listened to the episodes in a while, so I don't quite know the mythology. Oh boy, you see, walked right into this one, Scoots. And it's like I was disqualified from telling my own story with my own characters because I don't know. But he said, man, I miss that Pop and a Mop. And then I was thinking that, I remember at the height of our adventure, we had a choice, Pop and I. We could go deeper into the earth. There was a mysterious path down past this steampunk dragon, which me and Pop outsmarted. And we were trying to, I think Pop was trying to prevent the Great Candy War, and I was trying to help him. So at the time, we were trying to outrun, soldiers for one of the candy corporations. This candy war, I think, was Whitman versus Seas. But I think it was, as I later would discover, it was a sign of a much broader problem. Because it was after those two things, and this candy war and the press cover-up, and the fact that I didn't even realize that the candy companies had weaponized themselves. But it all seemed to make sense. And then, so then I got into this whole blogging thing, candy conspiracy blogging. And I had a pen name, Ultra 7. That was my pen name, which popped in. He said, what's a blog? And I said, Pop, it's like an internet newspaper without the journalist or the newspaper. It's like, did you ever make a newspaper when you were a kid, Pop? And he said, oh yeah, I made the grocery news. You know, my father was a grocer. My sister was a grocer. And I said, could it get any grosser than that? And he said, I was going to make a funnier joke. But he said, my grandfather, I wrote the grocer news. And he goes, yeah, I'd write reviews of Valencia oranges versus Florida oranges. Anyway, and I said, oh, geez, Pop, I said, that sounds like an episode of my podcast, but more boring. Like Sleep With Me, Retirement Village Edition. And he said, I told you I'm not retired. Oh, because this was a sad point for Pop, was that his grocery store, because of its involvement in the cover-ups. And I mean, this thing goes from the top to the bottom. I'll tell you right now, the Great Candy, I mean, well, we could get into it, but, they allowed him to keep it because he said, I'll get those people, private property people involved. I don't know which party he meant or which movement, but, and then it was timely because then two competing supermarkets also opened up nearby and his business had already been suffering. And, obviously he lost all his candy accounts, even though I don't think he sold any Whitman or C's candy. I think they probably thought he took sides, which he did not. And I said, well, who stayed? I don't know. This was one of, when I was, what was my name? Secret 7 or whatever I was called. I would always write about what I said. Well, I guess mine was more of a critic. It wasn't a candy critic blog. Like, oh, this one has too much citrus or this chocolate has, fake overtones or, it says it's 78% cacao, but it tastes like 84. So you're really getting your money's worth. My short-lived candy blogging career was, most of them rejected blog topics, like Whitman, who the hell cares? And, then they'd send a cease and desist or something because I was doing all this. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, like Pop's store had been closed. Well, he would say, you need to move. He said, I said, I'll take care of you, Pop. And he said, I'm really taking care of you. And I said, one of those things, heartfelt. It wasn't heartfelt. Just to gloss over this part, plug your ears. But by caring for Pop, by, living rent-free, using his high-speed internet connection, eating. I mean, we had a stock of non-perishable goods because most of those stores just sell crap. You know, about 2 or 3 years worth of soda. And, you know, we were bootlegging some stuff out of a store. That was fun. We'd go down to the, what are those called? The flea markets. And that's actually where we caught on to a new case. So I was trying to crack, you know, I guess I was a candy blogger, rabble rouser. And I was wondering, I guess this is when you see the human side of adventurers, and I really say, whoa, Pop's the adventurer, not me. I'm a sidekick. So, you know, let me just put that out there. And, you know, Pop said, are you sure you didn't move in with me and start this candy blogging because you're sad about Morley? And then I started to weep, you know, and then this is neither here nor there. I said, yeah, I'm probably mourning, of course. And then he said, he's silly, and he didn't like that, but, because he said, morning, what, you know, see, and I said, okay, I'm only human, but by staying with Pop, you know, and caring for him by, I don't know, getting on his nerves, I guess, I feel like I went through, you know, he was helping me, I'll be honest, you know, I needed to help him, and he needed to help me, because he had lost his store, he was no longer a grocer. He's still gross. I would always say that. I cracked a lot of jokes, you know, especially at bathroom time. If I was walking down, I'd say, you're still a grocer, Pop. You're grossing me out. Or, you know, just sitting around, I would look at you. I don't know. He had normal looking feet, but, you know, people can be sensitive about their feet. And actually, he didn't have any distinguishing features. He had pretty plain feet, but, I think I felt like I could pick on his feet because there was nothing strange about them. But I would say, can you put some socks on, you know? I said, are you still a grocer? He say, no, I'm not a grocer because, you know, I say, you know, and they say, well, you're grossering me out with those feet, you know, put some socks on, holy. And then he would say, you don't need to live here. And I would say, pretty sure I do, because they say, Pop, man, you know I can't be left to my own devices. But so we raise money to buy, you know, to buy other groceries at the grocery store. But we would bootleg, we'd sell like his old supplies at the flea market, like old beer, like, all, you know, everything, because they say he lost all his licenses to sell. Or he did say you when he was talking about me, because he said, ever since that day you showed up at my grocery store, my life's been, and I say, an adventure, Pop. You're right, it has been. But so we would sell the beer and the wine and the liquor at the flea markets, because everybody likes, you know, get it. And, you know, I had a strategy. Since I had a problem, I know, like, I knew how to do it. Like, we'd keep everything ice cold. And then we would show up around, like, towards the end of the day when the vendors were just, you know, where they were flush with cash. But there was still, like, 2 hours left, so they couldn't go get beer. And so then we'd go around selling drinks. And we'd crush it, you know, and no one would bother us because of Pop. And for someone like me, you know, I'd stay focused at the flea market. Focused at the flea market. That's what I'd say the whole drive there. Stay focused at the flea market. Focused at the flea market. And I would say, well, if you saw me unfocused at the flea market, Pop, it would be trouble. You know, I can't. He said the flea market's like a great gray area, but it has, you know, it also has the extremes there. And, you know, since as someone who is like a ping pong ball between the extremes. And he said, you said enough. He goes, yeah, stay focused at the flea market. So at the flea market, you know, so I wouldn't get into any trouble or antics, which those are mild words at a flea market. You know, holy moly, but trust me, you know, in my flea market days when I was banned from flea markets from Saskatoola to Sacramento, you know, I'd say that was when I could, you know, I really could do it up. you know, I just get in so much trouble and stuff. So I would just stay focused. So usually just, you know, be taking money for the, like I'd say Pop would be in charge of selling the drinks. Because I kind of just had to keep my distance. I was just the idea man. I said, you know, sell. I said, we'll be able to pay all our bills. And he was saying, all my bills. And I said, yeah, exactly. But I mean, the thing was, Bob was in good shape. He lived at the, you know, in the bottom and the top of his store. And then I lived in the store. I mean, talk about a childhood dream come true. You know, I got to live in a store. In a grocery store, because he had paid off the store. He owned the land. He just couldn't make any income anymore because he was banned from selling. But so we made the income on the sly. And I knew, part of me knew, well, I was like, well, how long's Pop got? And, like, and I said, maybe I can wait it out, you know, and then I won't feel guilty. But I knew he needed some income because he couldn't just eat Twinkies. I mean, he had plenty. I taught him how to cook rice, white rice. He had tons of white rice in there. But I said, you know, we can't just eat that. So we would go, you know, we'd buy vegetables, but so at the flea market, my focus would always be on, what do you call it? Not stirring up trouble, but staying focused and not stirring up trouble, which usually meant waiting in the car. Like Pops would say, wait in the car. And then I would say, shoot. And he'd say, he wouldn't leave me the keys. So that didn't work. So then I would like walk around the exterior. Then I actually started, you know, a podcast, you know, flea market podcast where I'd interview the vendors, and that's how I'd stay focused, and oh, what a joy that was. Never a dull, you know, you say, geez, Scoots, are you intentionally boring? Or, you know, how, what's out of your balance? And I said, well, I'll tell you how not to balance out boring. Go on and, you know, started a flea market podcast with somebody that doesn't go do interviews well. And they usually only ask questions to kind of fill the dead air between, you know, not being able to converse with regular human beings anyway at a flea market. So I'd be like, hi, you seem to sell McDonald's toys from the 2000s. From Happy Meals. Yes, I do. Okay, great. And how much are they? They say three for a dollar. They're three for a dollar. Wow, do you love McDonald's toys? No, I bought these dead stock, 10,000 pounds of McDonald's toys dead stock. Okay, what's dead stock mean? Things that they just bulk. And these are the Barbies of the world in this bin here. Yes, three for a dollar. All right, thanks so much. That was our most downloaded episode. I think there's 100 vendors at the flea market. Usually we'd get 4 downloads, one or two of which were my own computer checking. That episode got like 17 downloads. And I kept hoping that I would get to the story, you know, but I never, you know, I said, I don't know how to do, you know. And to be honest, this whole time, I mean, you can even hear it in my voice. Me and Pop were ignoring the obvious, which was that, you know, deep with under in the ground underneath this store was a cavern that had to do with this great candy war. And a mystery that needed to be solved. But we, you know, we weren't ready to deal with that or solve it yet, I guess. So we were just buying time, you know, selling things at a flea market and, you know, waiting for adventure. I guess I was waiting for less adventures that involved the cavern beneath Pop's store. But then more recently, everything changed, you know, because... I mean, obviously, I wouldn't be recording this because I would have just kept on with, I would have just used the material for the, that was the other thing I had trouble with, like, what do you call it? Like the podcast, you know, Flea Market Cast was taken, Flea Market, Fantastic Flea Markets. This one didn't seem too fantastic. Fantastic Flea Market Stories is too many words. fleas. I wanted to call it, so then I guess I just, that's why I didn't give any, but anyway, I was interviewing this guy, Jim. He was one of these guys that, he would sit over there and he was always selling stuff that needed lantern batteries, and he sold lantern batteries, you know, like flashlights that need those old lantern batteries. And I said, you know, I guess those are on their way out. Said, no, you know, the time has passed, the lantern battery, bye. And I said, what are you comment on that, Jim? And he'd say, I thought this was a, he goes, are you with the news? And I said, no. Well, yeah, I'm with the flea market news. They said, there you go. Flea market news. They ended up there. There is, they sent me a cease and desist. It turns out there is plenty of flea market news. But this guy said, don't judge a battery by its cover. And he said, hardy, har, har. And I said, isn't that the only way? Because then you know it's ever ready. Or it's durst, you know, the cells are durable, you know. Or they're energized. And he said, well, he said, sit down here. And I said, so Jim, you sell lantern batteries and old flashlights without LEDs, the ones that just, you know, that. He said, can a flea, I guess a flashlight is one of those things that's definitely intimate. And he said, impotent, like your speech. And I said, wow, that burns, man. That burns, that cuts deep. But anyway, Jim, yeah, I'm here with Jim. That's the story, lantern batteries. And I said, actually, I always wanted to launch an Estes rocket, which would be the opposite of what we were just talking about, and we needed a lantern battery for the launching of it. And I don't know why we could never acquire one. I don't know if it, the idea of launching the rocket stressed my dad out, or the idea of acquiring the lantern battery stressed my dad out. Or the cost, I don't know if lantern batteries at some point had a prohibitive cost, but we would just couldn't. I had this one, you know what an Estes rocket is, Jim? And he said, I do. Well, he goes, that's perfect for a lantern battery. He goes, I have some, and he said, no, this is a childhood story. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. But yeah, so I never launched that rocket. It was a space shuttle. And he said, riveting. And I said, that's it, flea market news, here with Jim. And he said, that didn't have any, and I said, it did, it had lantern batteries in it. Jim, lantern battery sales. But Jim had a look in his eye, I think because him and Pop know each other, that's the real reason. But he said, you know, you could use some land. Well, he goes, why don't you buy a couple flashlights with lantern batteries? And I said, well, they're heavy, and they're inefficient and heavy. And I said, do you need me to buy it? And I said, well, let me go get some money from Pop. He's selling the beers and the, he said, we're almost out of beer and liquor and wine. And I've been worried, Jim, you know, about Pop and how, you know, I think I ruined his life, to be honest. I never told anybody this by accident because I just stopped at his store. I think to buy candy on a road trip, and you know, our lives are forever changed, or mostly Jim, Pop's life was changed, Jim. My life was just, you know, ideally I'll go back to my life, which is not neither here nor there anyway, but I guess I got a little adventure. And he said, it sounds like you're avoiding adventure to me. And I said, it's possible we're avoiding adventure, I said, but it's possible I could be waiting till I get the emotional rigor to buy some LED, you know, flashlights before me and Pop adventure anywhere. And he said, you got, and I said, okay, I'll buy some. And I went and got money from Pop. And then I came back. It wasn't enough. I said, here, Jim, this is like $4. Give me two. And he said, these are four, you know. These are high quality. I said, they were in the 1990s, maybe. They said, even in the 90s. And no offense, Jim, but, you know, are these things rechargeable? And he just hung his head. And then I said, another spirit broken by just being myself. Oh boy. Jim said, listen, I know you're avoiding adventure. And he said, why? He said, I have this one lantern. I keep it in the trunk of my car. And I said, why? He goes, it talks in Morse code. And I said, communicates in Morse code? He said, don't get snippy with me. And I said, only in your trunk it communicates with me. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'll buy it. And we waited till dark. And that's, you know, when Pop usually is like so exhausted from selling that he goes in the car and takes a little nap with the windows down. So night had fallen and we went out to Jim's car and he cracked the trunk. He said, you got to get in to see it work. And I said, are you kidding me, Jim? What do you think? You play me for a fool? Then I said, okay, I guess I'll get it. I said, I don't know Morse code though. And he said, it's dot, dot, you know, dot, dot, dash, dash. He goes, just tap on the thing and I'll write it down. And I said, how did you know this goes on? And he said, it's a long story, but he goes, sometimes I sleep in my trunk. He goes, I like it. It's very contained. He goes, you might like it. And I say, Jim, I could never sleep. I sleep in the middle. I said, I sleep in the cereal aisle of a grocery store. How could I ever sleep anywhere else? I said, sometimes I get cold. I just do, you know, I cover myself in cereal boxes. It doesn't work with being cold. And I said, but I still do it sometimes. I don't know why. I guess because some of the cereals I'm never going to eat, like Kix, Grape Nuts, some of the other ones that hopefully they don't come after me. But yeah. He asked me, I think the one that has, it looks like it's like long sticks. I said, yeah, that one too. I said, I'll put that one in over my legs. But he said, they're too boxy and they're boxes, so they don't really. And he said, man, he goes, just get in the trunk. So I got in the trunk, he closed it. And not that long after, this light started blinking, dot, 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 dash, dot, 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 dash, dash. So I started tapping on Jim's thing, tap, 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 tap. And then I banged, he said, it's repeating itself. It didn't take long. So I got out and he said, what did it say? He goes, N-C-A-A-L-A-X. And I said, is that a word? And he said, not that I can tell. And I said, did you double check? He said, I quadruple checked it. And I said, okay, I guess I'll take your word for it. And I said, NCAA. And I said, LAX is at Los Angeles Airport. And I said, NCAA candy. And I said, the National Candy A Association, Jim. So the National Candy, is something at LAX. I said, Jim, you've given us a clue. And he said, are you going to go get more money to pay for those two lanterns? I said, I don't know if we'll need them. I said, we've got a mission now. They said, National Counterfeit, NC Counterfeit, NCC, National Counterfeit Candy Association, Jim. And he said, I'm pretty sure it was NCAA and not NCCA. And I said, no, National Counterfeit Candy Association. That's it, Jim. Your lantern was right. I said, it's candy counterfeiters. This is because, you know, my conspiracy blog, Candy Conspiracies. And Jim was straight with me. He said, I think you should just go down to the below Pop's basement and deal with it. And I said, no, we're not ready for that. We got to find Pop a steady source of income. And I said, this is the ultimate irony, Jim. We can stop the people that are digging into the, barely affecting the bottom line of the giant candy, mega, you know, multinational candy corporations. The candy counterfeiters, they just got to figure out why lax is important. Unless they're being lax, but LAX. I said, I got to go drive Pop home. and figure this out. I said, thanks, Jim. And I headed over to Pop's car. And I said, LAX, LAX. And Pop was asleep. And as I got to his car, this guy stepped out of his car. It looked like a government-issued, you know, undercover-type car. And he said, sir, are you Pleasure 7 or, you know, Secret 7? I said, the famous flea market podcaster? I am the payment. I said, would you like to be interviewed? What can I help you with? And he said, I'm Travis Wood, CBI Candy Bureau of Investigation. And I said, are you with the military industrial complex? And he said, well, now we refer to it as the, military. I said, you should just call it like the sugar. And he said, no, don't say the sugar word. I said, what about the multinational military industrial complex? And he said, are you on the hot on the trail of anything? And I said, hot on the trail of editing another episode of Flea Market News. And he said, he goes, why did you get in that man's truck? I've been watching that man, Jim O'Hattie or something. And I said, really, are you in the market for some lantern batteries? Because I got two. I got them at a discount because he got distracted. I got two of these flashlights. I think they're good for about 4 hours. You know, they're rated at 4 hours. LEDs, 10,000 hours. These are rated at 4 hours. I said, they have somewhere around a half lumen, and they weigh about 16 pounds, but I'll sell one to you for $8. And he said, did you hear I'm with the candy? And I said, I heard you were. I said, you're with the multinational candy concerns. And he said, oh, well, in armaments and, you know, and I said, okay. He said, are you here to prosecute me for my attempted exposure of your secrets? And he said, I don't think it's any secret. He goes, it's all because we're publicly traded corporations. And he goes, what were you doing with that man in his trunk? And I said, well, he wasn't in the trunk with me. He sleeps in his trunk sometimes, and he was telling me how good it was. And I told him that I sleep in a grocery store, well, a market, you know, small market, grocery market. And I was telling him that that's probably better. No offense. Like, I'm sure sleeping in a trunk's great, but when you can sleep in any aisle you want, you know, if the weather gets hot, you just go down. And this guy shook his head. You should have seen his composure. He said, you sleep in a grocery store. And I said, well, you know, and he said, I know, like the checkered linoleum. I said, you got it. I said, random poles. And he said, do you ever run around in there? I said, yeah, sometimes. I said, usually, I have a reading aisle. I said, I have a living room aisle. I said, you should come by and we could talk. I said, which part of the candy military industrial complex do you represent? And he said, the kind interested in information and, you know, seeing what it's like to live in a small grocery store. And I said, well, follow me. Let's go. And I said, and pick up some dinner on the way. And he said, done. And I said, not candy either. And he said, done. So we drove back. I put Pop in bed, tucked him in. His mop was there. And this guy, Travis Wood, came in. And he came in with a briefcase. And then he strolled around the store. And he said, this is a lovely store. And then he said, I love what you've done with the place. And he was serious. And he said, what about the cashier desk? What are you planning on doing with that? And I said, well, maybe. I said, in my dreams, that would be a fort. I said, you know, I'd roof it. And he said, that's exactly what I was thinking. He said, why don't you just blanket that out and have a meeting in there? He goes, because we need to talk. And he said, sounds great. So then we put a blanket over the counter. And then we crawled in, and we actually used one of my lanterns that I bought from Jim. And then he said, does NCCA mean anything to you? And I said, actually, it does. I said, it means the National Counterfeit Candy Association. And he said, yes. And then he did that thing where he clicks the briefcase, click. And then he opened it up, and it was a stiff briefcase. It almost creaked, and he pulled out a picture of a man, you know, one of those ones, black and white, you know, the kind that the military-industrial complex takes of people. And he said, this man is Hans Hammel. He said man, though, because I think he wanted to rhyme. And I said, Hans Hammel, eh? And he said, he's the leader of the national account. You know, he's the biggest candy counterfeiter in the world. And I said, what is candy? I said, what is candy counterfeiting exactly? It sounds good. But I said, it would sound like you're making candy from inferior ingredients, you know, mass producing inferior candy from inferior ingredients at the lowest possible price. And he said, save that for your conspiracy blogs. He goes, you're hilarious. And I go, no. So that's what confuses me. If they're not doing that, he goes, what are they doing? And he goes, exactly our concern. He goes, when candy was made from superior expensive ingredients, he goes, yeah, there was a reason to counterfeit candy. But he goes, now, as you so aptly pointed out, he goes, you know, in economies of scale, mostly he said economies of scale. And I said, like vertical and horizontal monopolies. And he said, near monopolies, son. Economies of scale is out. And I said, okay. He said, there's no reason to counterfeit candy. And I said, and so that's where you're confused. He goes, exactly. He goes, I don't know what Hans Hammel's up to. But he goes, we've tracked him, you know, to the West Coast. He goes, recently he was in Oakland, California. And I said, oh, that's where I used to live. I said, Bernie was just in Oakland recently. He said, I wonder what he would think about all this. And he said, he goes, come on. He goes, you know, and I said, yeah. He said, let's go to deal with the task at hand. He goes, because I think this is busy. He goes, I don't think this is a great thing, this candy counterfeiting. And I said, what could this Hans Hammel be up to? I said, I used to live in Oakland, but now, you know, I live at this candy shop. And then I said, and we were eating pizza that he brought. So that was nice. And it was a nice fort. And then one of the lantern, of course, died because it had been like 15 minutes. The battery was drained. And I said, is this some sort of, is this a conspiracy? He goes, yeah, we're expecting him to bring in something. And he goes, we don't know if it's going to be Oakland and the ports or San Francisco. But he goes, whatever he's bringing in will be the key to why he's counterfeiting candy. And I said, mind control? And he said, no, we already have that. And I said, you know what? I'm a pretty paranoid guy, Travis. And I said, I think I know what he's going to do. He said, what? I said, one of two things. He's probably going to ruin your reputation or, you know, try to get money out of you and say, oh, and he said, you're probably right. I said, yeah, he might like find the taste blockers. Maybe they'll release superior tasting candy. Maybe he's counterfeited your candy with superior ingredients or with the actual ingredients without the taste blockers. And he said, that's enough of your comedy routine. I said, I'm no Stephen Wright, I know, but I said, no, I'm serious. I think that's what he's up to. And I think I know where he's going to be. And he said, where? And I said, well, I won't tell you till you guarantee a steady income for Pop here. And we need some LED flashlights. And he said, what do you mean? And he said, I have authorization to do whatever you want. He goes, well, how much? And I said, Pop probably needs about $3,000 or $4,000 a month tax. And he goes, taxes will be paid. He goes, consider it done. And I said, well, could I get something? He said, no, the deal. He goes, that's our deal. And he said, where is the candy coming in? I said, well, the National Counterfeit Candy Association. I said, it's surprising that. I said, this is like, it's as simple as figuring out High School Musical. You know, I said, well, I think it was high school. Which one was the one which one took place in the summer? And then Travis looked at me. I said, you don't have any kids, do you? He said, no. I said, when do you expect this to happen? He goes, any moment. He goes, we expect it to come in today. And I said, well, once I know that everything's coming in for pops, I said, well, you don't have a date at all? And he said, no, he goes, it's 11 days. He goes, 11 days from now. And I said, once I know, I can tell you. He said, it's like, I said, he goes, hey, promise I'll take care of pop. We'll have a check here. And I said, could you hire him an assistant for when I can't be here? And he said, I think I'll renounce my membership in the Candy, you know, FBI, Candy Bureau of Investigations after this adventure, if I can live at this store. And I said, you can. And Pop said, I heard that. I like this guy. He's very much more clean cut than you. And I said, great, you're hired, Travis. I said, maybe, but, I said, well, let me think about it. I said, we got 11 days till somebody's film, you know, we got to get to LA. And I said, Pop, we'll be back. And so we drove to LA. So it took like 11 or 10 days. And then the whole time we were like working on plan. And I said, so they're flying in. I said, I still understand. I still understand what we're going to do. And Travis said, I don't know either. And I said, well, we could do like a High School Musical thing. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, trust me. I said, T-R-I-S me, us me. And he said, how? And I said, don't worry. I said, buffoonery is my, I said, when he gets off the plane, I said, what do we need to know? And he said, we need to know where the shipment is. And I said, do you think you'll have it on him or something? And he said, I don't know. And I said, what if you just get the information? I said, why don't you just have him arrested? And he said, well, because he goes, none of this is legal. He goes, technically, he's still covered by the Constitution. We can't even prove, especially if he has superior ingredients. And he said, but he's a counterfeiter. He said, there's something else going on here, isn't there, Travis? And you're quick to renounce your, and he goes, this runs too deep. He goes, I'm not telling you the whole story. And I said, maybe we need to get Hans for ourselves. Hans Hommel, candy counterfeiter, and get him out of the airport. I said, because they don't know. I said, at this point, did you already leak it out? I said, did you get the money wired to Pop's account? He did. He said, I did. And I said, do they know he's coming into LAX? He goes, I don't know. I don't think so. And I said, okay, so they haven't checked the manifest. So we are the only ones that know. I said, how does that happen? I thought you watched everything. And he said, well, he said, no, I'm a rogue agent, actually. He goes, I'll be honest. He goes, I was trying to win you and Pop's trust because he goes, I want to know what's underneath that thing. And he goes, that's why Hans Hommel's really coming. He's going to use all the candy, the chocolate under Pop's candy store, his market. And I said, really? I said, I don't know about this, Travis. I don't trust you anymore. And he was like, no, you just don't want me to live in them. And I said, I guess you're right. I said, I guess I'm overthinking things here. And I said, at the same time, I got to get answers before. I said, so you wait here. We pulled up to the airport. And I said, I know you can't wait here. So I said, go to the call lot. I said, don't ditch us, you know, otherwise you won't be able to live in Pop's store. And he said, don't worry. And then I went to the boarding and then, like where the people come out, arrivals area. And I studied the people from the particular flight, and I said, okay. And then I saw Hans Hommel. And then I had brought a wig with me, so I put it on, and I pretended I was Vanessa Hudgens, whose character name escapes me at this point, but I was calling myself Maddie. And I said, Troy? Troy, it's me. And he, you know, this is just like, you've seen this a million times. And I said, what? And I said, Troy. But I was watching out of the corner of my eye for any baggage that said Hans Hommel. And I was watching his eyes. And I said, Troy, it's totally you. I can't believe you're here. You're here for High School Musical Con, right? You're my Troy. I'm your Maddie. And he said, I am no Troy. And I said, ish. And then I put a wig on him and a football jersey and a football helmet. and expecting that that would cause enough confusion to escape. And then he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "You must trust me, Hans Hommel, candy counterfeiter. Come with me if you want to escape." And I said, "Have you ever wanted to live in a market in the cereal aisle?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Exactly. Come with me." And then we grabbed his luggage. It was more than that. Like, I did a couple routines, like High School Musical, Everybody Stop and Feel the Fool. You know, while I called for the ride. And it was actually, that was like action-packed, because like I was tripping candy, CBI, candy investigators, and singing High School Musical, but acting. And then, I, you know, of course I brought like an entire football team of helmets and stuff. I had a giant bag. I didn't talk about that. So that created a giant diversion, because actually it happened. You know, I'm plugged into this. It was the weekend of a High School Musical con. And so there was tons of people dressed as Troy and Vanessa, Maddie or whatever. And so then we made our escape. And then we drove cross country. We missed High School Musical con, of course. Yeah, but I think that's where they thought the deal was going down, which it worked even better to buy us time. And we returned to Pop's store. Pop was, you know, still there. And the three of us decided to split up the store. Hans Hommel, candy counterfeiter. Travis Wood or whatever. Travis, whatever his name was. I didn't even pay attention that good. But Travis, the candy investigator. And me, the candy conspiracy theorist. We started living in the store. Well, at least that night. And, you know, with really, because we were avoiding the real adventure, which maybe we'll have soon, all right? Thanks and good night. I'm looking at this map of locks on the Erie Canal from that Erie Canal episode. And I guess the corporations are, these are the YouTube locks. Oh, because they had used a tube locking. You control. Thanks and good night for that Erie Canal lock. Sally Cinnamon Lock, thanks and good night. Playlist Maker Lock, thanks and good night. Jen Misha, thanks and good night. Jack A, thanks and good night. Abel Rebel, thanks and good night. Dane M, thanks and good night. These are popular. These are some good locks. They made, you know, the 50, you know, made the Erie Canal work. Arrow Finest, thanks and good night. Mad Green Bee, thanks and good night. That was a download problem. Thanks for pointing that out. All caps off, thanks and good night. Bernie Sandwich, thanks and good night. Kane S, thanks and good night. Dennis D, thanks and good night. Evan S, thanks and good night. Pree, thanks and good night. Maria E, thanks and good night. Susan P, thanks and good night. Manic Mo, thanks and good night. Danish Guy, thanks and good night. And then these are all thank you. These are the Gmail locks. Say, well, I guess we live a future stranger than fictional future stranger than the, you know, something. Raina, thanks and good night. Sean with a W, thanks and good night. Jonathan, Avery E, thanks and good night. Colette, thanks and good night. Denny, thanks and good night. Rachel E, thanks and good night. Catherine, Breaking Bad Catherine, thanks and good night. Gina, thanks and good night. Thanks for writing about the show. Alexandra, thanks and good night. Ahab's Wife, thanks and good night. Carolyn, thanks and good night. Molly H, thanks and good night. Cammy, thanks and good night. And the fruit flies, of course. Beck, everybody back, thanks and good night. David D, thanks and good night. Jan C, thanks and good night. Michael and the Loud Neighbors, thanks and good night. Anna W, thanks and good night. Vesna, thanks and good night. Jennifer K, thanks and good night. Caroline with an E, thanks and good night. Summer with an E, thanks and good night. Douglas, thanks and good night. Jody, thanks and good night. Hope that button fair was good. Kim H, thanks and good night. Mangy Cat, thanks and good night. Jen, thanks and good night. Betty, thanks and good night. Tabitha, thanks and good night. Albert, thanks and good night. Sean M, thanks and good night. B, thanks and good night. And Snowboarder Dogs, Darren H, Josephine, Victor, Dan G, Brendan, Ka, Molly H, Summer, Joseph, Miss Lulu, Steve B, Darla F, Amber R, Kim H, Kim A, well, a lot of Marcy, David, Emma, Lee, Emily, Gabrielle, Sarah, Sherry, Henry, Jillian, Lizzie F, Lisa B, Christina, Chaz, Tiffany and Andrew, Daniel, Aaron, and Cole, Wendy, Julie C, and that's it. Get a good night's sleep, all right? I will talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, okay. So like, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Postie Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like, that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Four, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, oh, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, an all intro episode came out. Weird, the all night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they have, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, cause you can listen to that in the ad supported version. Right. But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. If you're, this is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? I guess in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.